The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Tes records the following conversation between the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel and the Caesar. This conversation contains two very interesting assertions about the nature of the Isser to steal and about the distinction between Geneva and Gzela, theft and robbery and burglary. What was the conversation? The Caesar said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a thief, he's a ganav. Why? Because he took a rib from Adam in order to create Chava without Adam's consent, without Adam's knowledge. And then, when Rabbi Gamliel's daughter responded, she said, no, because he really gave Adam something even better. So therefore, presumably, there's no theft involved, there's no geneva involved, because to taking something and returning something even better is not an Isser Gneva. That seems to be the first step in a dialogue between the Caesar and Rabbi Gamliel's daughter. And some Achronim are troubled because on the surface, the response that Rabbi Gamliel's daughter gave does not seem to correspond, it does not seem to fit with the definition of Gneva, or the threshold between Gneva and non-Gneva in other places in Shas. This is a kasha that Rabbi Yaakov Emden asks. So before getting into the different possible answers and what their ramifications are for our understanding of the definition of Geneva, and particularly this, because the sugya of Geneva is very important in Maseches Sanhedrin, both earlier when it came to Chamsonim and Psulei Eidos, and later on when we'll get to the mitzvos B'nei Noach, but even aside from that, so it's Nogea very much over here and in Bava Kamma as well. But before even getting into an analysis of the definition of Geneva, it's important to note that first of all, the assertion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a ganav, or that this situation is classified as Geneva, was set forth originally by the Kesar, or by the Kofar, however the Gemara presents it, whichever Gersa you have. So that's not something that we necessarily have to respect. Maybe that was his definition of Geneva, and for us, it's not necessarily defined as Geneva. And similarly, when Rabbi Gamliel's daughter responds, oh, it's not Geneva because of A, B, and C, so that may have been within his definition of Geneva, which is an incorrect definition of Geneva to begin with. So we don't necessarily have to accept that. In general, the Gemara has a rule that when a person who has incorrect assumptions for reasons of corrupt ideology asks a person a question that's based on those assumptions, we apply the pasuk anei kasil ki ivalto. We answer a foolish person in accordance with his mistake. In other words, very often, rather than reveal some part of Torah's MS to a person who has bones to pick with the Torah, we'll instead answer them based on their assumptions, even though we don't accept those assumptions. So one cannot necessarily bring a raya from this dialogue between the Caesar and Rabbi Gamliel's daughter to anything that has to do with the actual halachos of Geneva as they're passing in Shulchan Aruch. Second of all, when we're discussing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the rules that apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't necessarily apply to Basar Vadam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above the law because he creates the law. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the right to suspend the law in order to do something which is right. Just like Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, the Avos had the right to do that before Matan Torah, even though the Avos kept the entire Torah, but under specific circumstances, when they saw that human history would be far better off, based on their nevuah, that human history would be far better off if they altered something before Matan Torah, before the laws were codified and became binding upon everybody. So the Avos had the right to do that. They had the right to make the sacrifice of something which would ultimately become binding law in favor of making human history even better. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the limb from Adam, it doesn't necessarily have any bearing on what we call Geneva and Gzela, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is governed, obviously, it's not governed at all, certainly not by the rules that we're governed by, or the definitions that we're governed by. But even if we were to assume that this conversation between the Kofar and Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was a halachic conversation, a rigorous halachic conversation, about the definition of Geneva, where the Kofar asserted that taking Adam's rib was actually a Maisa Geneva, and would be a Maisa Geneva for a human who did so also, and Rabbi Gamliel's daughter responded that no, it was not a Maisa Geneva, and for one of us who did something similar, it's also not a Maisa Geneva. If you accept those assumptions, what does this tell us about the nature of Geneva? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden asks a kasha. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that in general we know that a person who steals, even if his intention is to pay tashlumi kefal, even if his intention is to pay back double afterwards, still there's an isser Geneva. He's not allowed to steal even with intention to pay back to somebody. So in this case also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the rib from Adam HaRishon. His intention was to return Adam HaRishon, a woman, the rib, a thousandfold, but even so, that should be no better than stealing with intention to pay back double. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden gives two tirutzim. I want to focus on the second tirutz for the moment. The second tirutz, he says, is that the only time it's usur to steal from somebody is when the theft is going to cause that person tsar, when the theft is going to cause a person pain. If the theft is not going to cause a person pain, so then there is no isser to steal. In this case, Adam HaRishon was asleep, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Adam HaRishon would stay asleep from the moment that he took the rib until the moment that he gave him back a woman. So when Adam HaRishon woke up, he would already see that the rib has returned to him in the form of a woman, and he wouldn't have anything to be concerned about. He would never feel a single moment of pain on account of the Maisa Geneva that the rib was taken away from him. And therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, there was no Isser of Geneva whatsoever. And this is an incredible idea. The idea is that when the Isser of theft, the Isser of stealing, is not so much a function of depriving a person of their money or of their property for either a transient or a longer period of time. The Yisod, What lies beneath the prohibition to steal is the prohibition to maliciously cause another human being pain. That's the Isser. And as long as the theft is not going to cause the person pain, it could be that it is mutar. Now, in a similar vein, but even a step beyond this, the Ritva has an interesting comment. The Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Hey has a discussion about Rabbah who sort of sent his butler to take something, to take a grape or a fruit from the field of his neighbor who owed him a lot of money. And he did this in order to sort of get his neighbor to acknowledge something about the favor that Rabbah had done him by building a fence around the field. But basically, he told his butler, go and take a fruit from my neighbor's field. And the Ritva asks, how can he tell his butler to go take a fruit from the neighbor's field? L'cha'ora, that's gneva, that's gzela. You're going and taking something which is not yours against the will of its owner. And to this, the Ritva answers something which is even more standing than Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The Ritva answers that in this case, because his intention, right, he didn't really want to cause pain. If he could get his neighbor to acknowledge the debt that he was owed on account of building a fence around his field without stealing from him, so he certainly would have chosen to do so. His intention in stealing this was simply to make the neighbor acknowledge that he got some tangible benefit by having a fence around his field, because now that there's a fence, he can stop people who are trying to take his fruits. So because the intention of the ganav was not to cause the neighbor pain, but rather the intention of the ganav was to make the neighbor realize his debt to Ravina, therefore, says the Ritva, it could be that there's no isser of Geneva. A pella. Now, keep in mind that both Rabbi Yaakov Emden and the Ritva have other answers to their kasha, which means that both Rabbi Yaakov Emden and the Ritva may hold that the Isser is not so much a function of causing pain or having intention to cause another person pain, even for a small amount of time. Rather, they would hold that the Isser is depriving a person without consent of his property or of his money. So that certainly is a valid concept of what Geneva is, but these two tirutzim in particular don't necessarily hold of that. This is a major, major discussion, and Mir Tashem will have a chance to return to it. I want to point out at least one other nafkamina of this case. What happens if, let's say, you come to shul on Friday night with a raincoat, a black raincoat, and everyone else also comes to shul with black raincoats, but let's say you daven a long Shmon Esrei, and you come out of shul, and somebody mistakenly has taken your raincoat and left their raincoat in its place, meaning that they mistook your raincoat for theirs, so they took yours, and then theirs remains hanging on the hanger. Are you allowed to walk home in their raincoat? So this is a discussion that that the Machne Ephraim brings up. And the discussion basically is, are you allowed to deprive a person of their property or to use a person's property without their permission, which ordinarily would be considered gzeila, if you are absolutely certain, or if there's an umdana demuchach, as we call it, it's positive. Anybody would tell you that for sure they don't mind. You know that they don't mind. You're confident that anybody whom you asked would also be able to evaluate and say that they don't mind your using their property. Are you allowed to go ahead and use it? Or do we say that no, that any use of the property without their consent, even though it's clear to you that they don't mind, is still an Isser of Geneva? And to this, the Machne Ephraim says it's actually a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam. It's machlokas, Tosfos, and the Rambam. So what emerges, just to put together with what we've discussed so far, is that there's a possibility in the Machne Ephraim that the yisod of the Isser Geneva is not simply depriving a person of their property without their consent or without their knowledge, but rather the yisod of the Isser Geneva is causing a person pain. And therefore, when you're absolutely certain that the person will not feel any pain because of your act of using their property, there won't be any Isser. This tzad in the Machne Ephraim is that you're allowed to take the raincoat and walk home with it because you know for sure that the other guy who's mistakenly using your raincoat is not going to mind when he finds out what happened. Again, there's another tzad which says that you're not allowed to take the raincoat home because it's still iser gzela to use the raincoat without the person's permission. It's important, you know, to know exactly what the halacha is. You shouldn't take the other guy's raincoat without asking a shayla. But in the end of the day, I think these three things all point in the direction that the yisod of the Isser Gzela is not simply depriving a person of property without consent, but rather it's the pain that's caused by doing this, and if the pain was neutralized, then perhaps there would be no Isser. But the opposite side, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden's other Teretz, the Ritva's other Teretz, and the other Shita in this Machane Ephraim, would all say that no, that it's simply depriving a person of property without consent that constitutes the Isser of Gneva.